And we're just thrilled to have the Keatons back with us tonight. And Brother Larry is going to minister the word for us tonight. So let's give him a great welcome. Amen. Come on up, Brother Larry. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, it's good to be back with you. We enjoy coming here. We met Pastor David several years ago, and it just seemed a good fit for us to come, and we always have a good time preaching, and it just seems like you guys have a good time hearing what the Lord has to say through us. Well, how many of you are satisfied with where you are in God? Raise your hand. Well, that's good. You know, we should never be satisfied with where we are in God, because Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, how? According to the power that works in us." And if you check out the contents there, it's faith and love. So it's according to what demand we put on his word, we put on his ministers, we put on the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, because he said he'd lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight. Angela mentioned a little bit this morning about the garbage that I had come out of. And I want to talk to you tonight about how I got rid of all the garbage that I had programmed myself with. You know, because the world is trying to reprogram us. And if we don't watch it, they will. Even if you grow up as a Christian. So I want to talk to you tonight about renewing your mind. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. Well, let me just back up and give you just a little bit of my testimony. And most of it is in God's transforming love. But I was a helpless, hopeless drug addict for 13 years. Drug dealer. I was in and out of the penitentiary and was headed back to the penitentiary again. And I had a supernatural intervention with the Lord Jesus Christ through an old friend of mine and the Word of God. I got restored, because I know I got saved as a child, but for 16 years, I lived a horrendous life. I was a hellion, and if it felt good, I did it, and I just lived the way I wanted to live. You know that old song, I Did It My Way? That was my theme song. You know, I believe that's going to be the theme song of hell.
Right.
I did it my way. Yep. But anyway, I come to find out that if we do things God's way, everything is a whole lot better. Amen. Because God knows, how many of you know God knows best for us?
Yes.
And until we begin to renew our mind concerning some things, then we can't have the fullness of what God has for us. Because God has so much more in store for us, but it's a daily process, learning things. And so anyway, I had that on July 6, 1983, I had that encounter with Jesus. I got restored. I got healed. I had headaches and indigestion all the time. I got healed. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we prayed, the old friend of mine, we prayed, and there was a warrant on my life that I was going to, I had sold some drugs to a narcotics agent. Now, this is after I'd already spent some time in prison. I got it out. But anyway, and so I had been running from this warrant for many years, and this old friend of mine just loved on me and showed me the Word of God, and we prayed, and several months went by, and the Lord said, "Well, you can go get your driver's license now." And I went, because we prayed about the warrant, because it was going to put me back in the penitentiary for 25 to life, plus the sales of cocaine to a narcotics agent. But anyway, long story short, we prayed, and 3 to 6 months later, I went to get my driver's license, and they checked me out, and the warrant was no longer there. So within a six-month period of time, I got totally restored back to the Lord. I got healed in my body. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started, the Lord started turning my life around.
Yes.
Yeah, and I got instantly delivered from all that drug addiction. And I had been to drug rehab centers, and they told me there was no hope for me. But see, when there's no hope in the world, there is hope in God. And so all of that took place. And, you know, thank God, I was so excited about the things of God, but I still had stinking thinking. My mind was still messed up. Now, I'm born again. I'm alive unto God. I'm a child of God. And my body was healed, but my mind was so messed up. My dad gave me a concordance, and I couldn't even remember, because I like to study, and I couldn't remember when I look up the word sozo, the word saved, it's 4982 in the Strong's Concordance. I couldn't remember those four numbers long enough to go to the back of the concordance, Strong's, and look up that word. So as, in a process of time of renewing my mind, I got a hold of a little book called made by Charles Capps, God's Creative Power. And he taught me how to take scriptures. Well, actually, he had scriptures in the little book. And he had just a short teaching. It was one of those little small books. And I started taking those gospels, because that's what he called them. He said, take your gospels every day. And I did it three times a day. Angela talked about it. I wore three of those little books out, and I got my mind renewed. Amen. Thank God. But, you know, I still have to work on it. Come on, I still have to work on it, because if I pay more attention to the world and the things that are going around than I do the Word of God, then my mind gets squirrely again. And I'm sure you're in the same boat I am. So anyway, I was alive unto God. I was born again. I was a child of God, but I had to do something with my mind. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I read from the New King James unless I otherwise specify. If any man be in Christ, he's an old sinner saved by grace. No, I was an old sinner. We were saved by grace, but the Bible says I'm a new creation. Amen. I'm not an old sinner. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Come on now. All my past was left behind. Now, I still had memories of it, but I'm not that man anymore. When I got saved, when you got saved, we're not the same person anymore. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yeah. But see, I had to renew my mind to that fact. I must have used this scripture thousands of times, because I remember some of the stupid things that I used to do and some of the horrible things I used to be involved with. And I used to have to tell myself, nope, I'm not that old man anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that old slothful drug dealer anymore. I'm not that reprobate anymore. I'm a new creature. And all those things are in my past, and I'm going to keep them in my past. Come on now. I said I had to tell myself that those things are in my past, and I'm not going back there. Amen. I'm not going back to that place that God delivered me out of. Amen. So I changed, but my mind had to change. See, our sins are not covered like in the old covenant. You know, under the old covenant, the blood of the bulls and goats, they just covered the sin for a year. But when we got born again, when we became a child of God, the blood of Jesus eradicated our sins. We've got to remember that. That's why I said we're not old sinners saved by grace. Now, we were old sinners and we were saved by the grace of God, but we're new creatures. And thousands of times I've said that. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm not. The old things are passed away, and all things have become new. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint of God. Amen. We're saints, not ain'ts. Amen. In Psalms 103, verse 12, talking about our sins being taken away, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Glory be to God. See, I would be tormented of those things in my past. But all my sins was taken away. All your sins were taken away. You don't have to pay for that anymore. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay for your sins? Now, if you don't accept Jesus, then you have to pay for your sins. And the penalty of that is eternal separation from God. But thank God we accepted the free gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. We became His child because we just dared to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know what's sad to say? A lot of people have made Jesus their Savior, but they really haven't made Him His Lord. Amen? Because if He's your Lord, just like I was in the army, I'd say, yes, sir. And I had to do what they told me to do if I didn't want to end up in jail. Now, we're not going to be put in jail if we disobey God's word or don't do what He tells us to do. He's so merciful. Amen. But it is very beneficial to obey the word of God and do what He tells us to do. But you have to renew your mind to these things. You have to get rid of your stinking thinking. I mean, my wife, you know, she went to a Pentecostal Bible school for 4 years and then went to another denominational seminary, and got a degree in Christian education. But then she met a lady that was on fire for God, and she started learning the things that Brother Hagin, we call him Dad Hagin, used to teach, and it transformed her life. So I got delivered out of the world and drugs, and she got delivered out of religion. So the real you on the inside is a born-again man, a spirit man. It's not the old sinner that's saved by grace. It's a brand new creation. We became children of God. But you know, there's no immediate change, like I've said, in our mind, in our souls. We have to renew our minds. Let me just show you from the Bible that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And you know, we used to tell our students and our church members, when we were in the Czech Republic and Poland, we don't want you to believe anything we tell you unless we can show it to you in the Word. Because if we can show it to you in the Word, you can believe it, receive it, and have the benefits of it. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you or set you apart, sanctify you wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we can plainly see we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this body. Hebrews chapter 4:12, we'll see virtually the same thing. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. So what do you think the joints and marrow are? That's the body. So here again, he clearly shows us. It's a little bit in different order, but he says division of the soul and the spirit. Say the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. But our spirit, that's the born-again creature that's living on the inside. That's where the Holy Ghost lives. Amen. You know, some people says, well, it's good to be in the house of God. I like to say it's good to be the house of God. Amen. When you came in today, God came with you. He's not just with us. He is in us. Amen. Romans 12, 1. Paul says, I beseech you, or I beg you, I earnestly urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, the real spirit man, the one that was born again, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translation says spiritual worship. Now, I don't know about you, But sometime my spiritual, my living sacrifice wants to try to crawl off the altar.
Yes.
Now, the Old Testament, they didn't have any problems with that. But our living sacrifice. In verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So once again, we see the three parts of man. You, he's talking about the you, the real spirit man, the one that's in union with God. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove, now here's the progression, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I believe when we first get born again, we're just starting out. You know, Jesus all the time taught spiritual truths by natural examples. And when a baby is born, Angela made reference to it this morning, I think she did. But you wouldn't expect a 3 or 4 year old child to be able to do what a 10 or 12 year old child would do. You know, if they're still messing their pants when they're 12 years old, something is wrong somewhere, you know. But you kind of would expect that a baby that's 1 or 2 years old or something. Well, God doesn't want us to mess our pants up spiritually as adults, as we grow up, does he? So there's a good, acceptable as we begin to grow, but then there's a perfect will of God. I believe you're in the same boat as me. We want the perfect will of God for our life.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean that we have temporary periods of stupidity and we make mistakes. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. You know, God not only forgives, but he forgets, and we have to learn to do that ourselves. I mean, how many of you have made bad decisions and wrong and bad mistakes, and you go to God and ask you to forgive you? Amen? But you know, he forgives and forgets. I had to learn to forgive myself. I mean, if you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. He's not going to remind you of it anymore. It's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll remind you of those things. But anyway, learn to forgive yourself if you ask God to forgive you. Because it's in the past. God puts it in the past. But you know what? You have to keep it in the past too. Amen? So our way of thinking has to change. Real maturity comes when we renew our minds. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. The Phelps translation says it this way. Do not let this world squeeze you into its mold. You know, and they tried to do that. Communist News Network, I mean CNN. They try to squeeze us into the mold. Oh, you know, it's perfectly acceptable for a man and woman that's not married to have marital relationships. Not according to the Word of God. But Hollywood and everybody else wants us to think, well, that's just totally acceptable. It's all right. But it's not.
Amen.
Not according to God. Amen. You know, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. And you can never find in the Holy Bible where it's okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. But the world wants to say, well, it's all right. They want to call us haters if we say anything against it. Now, let me just take a little side journey here. God loves all these folks that I'm talking about. Because he loved the world. That's everybody. Everybody. He loves them, but he just doesn't like the sin that they're cohorting with. That they're joining themselves to. You know, my lifestyle. God didn't like the lifestyle that I used to be in before Christ or before I came back to him. But he loved me even in that.
Yes.
And because if he didn't, he never would have sent those people to witness to me and talk to me and love on me and show me the Word of God. But it was the word of God, the truth of God's word set me free. I wasn't in a big meeting where there's thousands of believers and the anointing was so strong. It was just the power that was in the word of God that set me free. Thank God for that. Now, thank God for big meetings where the anointing is strong. Thank God for the anointing here tonight. But, you know, just you and the word, because the word is anointed. And if you receive it, it'll set you free. It will totally change your body. Change your mind. Change the way you think. You know, the world would want to squeeze us into the mold and says, well, you know, if you don't like being a man, you can change yourself. Well, that's not acceptable to God. Come on. I mean, we don't want to hate these people that are involved in this. We should be praying for them. Because like Angela said this morning, talked about authority. We are the only ones that have access to God that can change things. Come on now. And if we don't like the way things are, instead of criticizing people and mocking and making fun of them, we should be praying for them. Praying for these things. We're the only ones that can change our nation and the direction in which it's going. Because these people that are wanting to take it this other direction that's ungodly, they're blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4. She mentioned it this morning, how the God, the little g of this world, had blinded the minds that believe not. And you know, one last thing. Well, you know, these people that are pro-abortion, they say, well, that's my body, I have a choice. No, honey, you had a choice before any of this took place. That baby, it's a baby on the inside of you, and if it has a heartbeat, it's a living being. And God wanted that child in this world. It doesn't matter how it was conceived. Amen. There's no mistakes with God. Amen. But they want to just push this on us. I'm talking about don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. So we can change these things by praying and voting. You know, there are natural things that we can do. Now let me just go back. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this word transformed is where we get our Latin word, metamorphosis. And you know what takes place in metamorphosis? There's a caterpillar, and it spins a web around it. And what happens when that web is broken off of it? It comes out and it's totally transformed. Yeah. It's a beautiful butterfly. Well, that's what we have to do. That's what I had to do. Men, I was alive unto God. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I knew that God had a purpose for my life, but I had stinking thinking, so I had to put a web or a cocoon of God's word around my mind. Amen. And now I come out looking like a child of God that the blood of Jesus was paid for. Amen? Amen. Renewing our mind, we must renew our mind, our way of thinking, and conform to the way God thinks. Why? Well, the rest of that verse. That you may prove, not that God may prove, but that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, God's not going to do something for us that he's told us to do. Come on now. I said God is not going to do for us something that he's told us to do. You know, we can pray and beg and cry and ask God to do all these things, but if he's told us to do something, he expects us to do what his word says. Because, see, faith begins where the word of God is known. The word comes and we accept it because the power to do what he's told us to do is in that word. And when we act on it, when we begin to speak it, and when we begin to live in line with it, that's when the transformation takes place. Let me read this to you out of the Passion Translation. It's Romans 12:2. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. You know, somebody said opinions are like eyeballs. Everybody has one. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Remember, we're a three-part being. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So let me show you like this. See, if our spirit man is alive unto God, we get born again, and we have this urge to get up early in the morning and pray, or stay up late at night and pray, or worship, or come to church, or whatever that God desires us to do, that we're being led to do, because we're alive unto God. Born again spirit man, child of God. But then he's got an uncontrolled, unrenewed mind and uncontrolled flesh. So you've got two members here. The spirit man, he wants to do what God wants him to do, but if he's got an unrenewed mind and uncontrolled flesh, and he says, come on, let's get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever, and let's pray. The unrenewed mind and uncontrolled flesh, they have a conference. And they say, well, you know what? Let's just lay here another 30 minutes. Let's just lay here another hour. Actually, we don't even have to be at work until 8 o'clock, so we don't have to get up until a quarter till 7 or whatever. And so the spirit man is overwhelmed by these other two members, three-part being. But now you take the reverse of that, and you get the spirit man that's alive unto God, and you get the renewed mind working together, and the spirit man says, let's get up and pray, or let's go to church on Sunday night or Monday night or whatever that it's being led to do. And the renewed mind working together, but the flesh man, he really don't want to do this, but you got the renewed mind and the born-again spirit working together, and the flesh says, well, I just don't want to do that. And the renewed mind and the born-again spirit says, shut up and get up and let's go. We're going to obey God. But you get the unrenewed mind, uncontrolled flesh working together, and the spirit man is always going to get last choice. But you get the spirit man and the renewed mind working together, and the flesh just has to do what they tell him to do. Can you see that?
Amen.
That's why many, many Christians never step into the perfect will of God for their life. But because they're always being led by the uncontrolled flesh and the unrenewed mind. So when we're born again, a battle begins. If we want to mature, if we want to grow in the things of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, our imaginations and thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or we could say the obedience of God's word. See, there's a battle going on. And he said, but we can't use natural weapons. We have to use spiritual weapons. We have to renew our minds with the word of God and take control, make our body come in line. Just like those scriptures Angela read this morning. And many people want to call them demons, but the works of the flesh. You can't cast out a work of the flesh. But the renewed mind and the born-again spirit can tell the flesh exactly what to do, and it has to obey. But it takes time. It was a process. You know, it took for 13 years, I lived the way I wanted to live. Whatever felt good, I did it. Whatever I wanted, I just got to do it. But when I got born again, if I wanted what God wanted for me, I had to have some changes in my life. And I just thank God that I learned some of the things that I'm teaching you tonight. I mean, I just got so diligent because I figured, you know, if I spent my past 13 years, because it was about 16 or 17 when I got crazy, but I didn't come to myself until I was 30 years old, July 6, 1983. And I got delivered. I got actually, I didn't have a monkey on my back at that time. I had a gorilla and a tribe. But God just delivered all that off of me. Thank God I had no longer any desire for those drugs and that kind of lifestyle. And I just poured myself into the church. I poured myself into the Word of God.
Thank God.
You know, what we listen to and what we allow ourselves to see creates thoughts. Close your eyes. I want to give you an example of that. What if I were to say a big dog? What are you seeing? What if I say a big black dog? What are you seeing? What if I say a big black mean dog? What are you seeing? See, every time words are projected, or every time you hear words, or every time you speak words, you have images. So words create images in you. You know, if we don't keep our thoughts captive, our thoughts will keep us captive. I'm going to say that again. If we don't learn to keep our thoughts captive, our thoughts will keep us captive. And it's a process. I'm telling you, and it's a battle. Because all of the garbage, I mean, I can give testimony, all the garbage I allowed myself to be involved with for those 13 years, I just don't even like to talk about it. But in a 6 months or a year's time, I was totally changed, but I had to get rid of the way that I thought, the way I perceived things. I remember I started going out on a witnessing team. Me and the associate pastor were together, and we went into a parking lot where a bunch of kids was, and we encountered this young girl, and she was crying and upset, and we talked to her a little bit, and she had become pregnant, and she didn't know what she was going to do. And my thought was, we'll just go get an abortion. Now I'm out witnessing. But see, I had not done a whole lot. This was just maybe a month after I got saved, I came back to the Lord and all that stuff. But see, I still had wrong thinking. But through a process of time of meditating on God's Word, it changed the way I think. It changed the way that I perceived things. And I started thinking the way God wanted me to think. I want to read this to you in the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 5:10. 10:5. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up against the defiance of the truth, of the true knowledge of God. We captivate like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. You know, thoughts are like birds. We can't keep them from flying over our head, but we can keep them from building a nest in our hair. Amen? We can take control of them. And you have to, I had to be so diligent. I mean, I could go to places, because I used to love rock and roll music. I won't listen to it anymore. But I can go places. I mean, just in a, go to a restaurant or something, and they're playing an old song that I used to like. I mean, it will put me right back in that place. And I can remember some things that I used to do at that time, and I don't do it out loud, but sometimes on the inside, I have to talk to myself about that and remind myself that I'm not that old man anymore. I'm a new creation, and the past is in the past, and I'm going to keep it there. I'm not going back there. Devil, you're not taking me back to where God delivered me out of. I refuse. I'd rather go home and be with Jesus than ever go back to where I came that God delivered me out of. But you got to be adamant about it, my brothers and sisters. The devil hates us, and he wants to take us down, but he can't. Amen. You know, if he could kill you, he would. But if he can get you to side with him, he can. See, it's who are we going to side with? Are we going to side with God and see the way things God sees? And see ourselves the way God sees us? Or are we going to see ourselves the way the devil wants us to see us? Old sinners. No, we're not. Now, I'm not saying we don't sin, we don't make mistakes, we don't have shortcomings and failures. Yes, we do. But thank God, he's given us a relief plan. 1 John 1:9. We're righteous. That righteous, don't be confused by the word righteous. It just means right standing with God. I'm not going back to that place. I'm not going to let the devil pull me back to that pit that God delivered me out of. I got a job to do. You got a job to do. I referred to it this morning. You got a ministry of reconciliation. You go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me just say this. You know, as ministers, it's our responsibility to fill the pulpit. It's your responsibility to fill these empty chairs. That always goes over real big. Philippians 4. We're still talking about thoughts. See, this is how you judge things. This is the way you judge when thoughts come to you. And I had to do that. I had to learn to do that. And I still have to do it from time to time. Like I said, if I'll hear a song, it'll take me back to the place that I used to be when I lived in sin. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fix your mind on these things. Fix your thinking on these things. Fix your attention on these things. When bad thoughts would come to me, I'd just say, no. I refuse to think about that. I refuse to think on things. I'm only going to think on things that are good, pure, perfect, lovely, good report. I'm not going to think the way I used to. I refuse to let my mind meditate or think about these things anymore. You got to talk to yourself. Yes. You know, I used to, y'all probably did heard this too. I'm from the South. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. But have you ever heard the expression, people are crazy when they talk to themselves? I wonder where that came from. No, the devil just wants to keep our mouth shut. He doesn't want the word of God in our mouth, because if it's in our mouth, it's going to be in our mind, and we're going to eventually act on what God told us to do. And when we act on God's word, when we put God's word to practice in our life, then the devil has no more stronghold in our life. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. See, he can't control what you won't let him. What did Jesus overcome the devil with? It's written. Every time the devil approached him, Jesus said, it's written, it's written, it's written. And it says the devil left him until a more opportune time. In other words, the devil didn't leave him alone. Now, we don't have it written, but evidently he came back and tempted him again. I mean, if the devil won't leave Jesus alone, guess where that leaves us? In that same boat. Right. Amen. Right. But we put him to flight. Amen. With the name, God. Well, the blood, and especially what I'm talking about tonight, the word. But you got to renew your mind. A born-again spirit and a renewed mind will always make the flesh come in line with the word of God. But an unrenewed mind, an uncontrolled flesh, will always keep the spirit man down. Have you ever heard how they trained elephants? They take a baby elephant and they put a real strong chain on that baby elephant's, one of his legs, and they put a strong stake in the ground. And that baby elephant has room to move around, but he'll pull against that chain. And he may pull against that chain, and he may be stubborn like some of us. He may pull against that chain and pull against that chain and pull against that chain, but that chain is stronger than he is. And so he gets it in his mind that he's bound. And when he feels the lightest tug on his leg in his mind, he's bound. But as the elephant begins to grow, they just take a rope and they put it on that same leg. And when he pulls and he feels that slightest tug against his leg, in his mind, he is still bound. And that's why many Christians, they don't advance in the things of God, because they're still bound by the way they think. They still have the stinking thinking, and they can't get beyond the fact that they're new creatures, that old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. But that adult elephant, he could easily break that rope. But in his mind, he still reverts back to when he was a baby, when he was a young elephant. He's bound when he feels that tug. But we've been freed. I got set free on July 6, 1983, and God showed me how to become victorious, and I began to take His word and brainwash myself. That's what you're really doing. You know, Hitler used to say, if I could have a child for 6 years, I've got him for the rest of my life. How many years did you live in sin? I lived in sin for 13 years. But the word of God, in 6 months to a year's time, I was free. Glory be to God. Now, I'm not saying I don't ever have any temptations anymore. Like I said, my living sacrifice wants to crawl off the altar from time to time. But I'm free, and I'm going to stay free. God showed me how to stay free, and I'm here to tell you how to stay free. How to be victorious in the things of God. You don't have to be controlled by the devil. And then once you begin to have freedom in your life, then you can help others. Come on, that's what this is all about. That's what church is all about. Coming and learning how to stay free for yourself, but help those that are beyond those doors, that when you walk out of there, you're walking into your mission field. Because there's people out there that are waiting for you to come and rescue them. Amen. And teach them what's right and how to live victorious. First of all, to get born again. So how do we mature in God? How do we take control over our thoughts? Well, I knew you was going to ask me that question. So let's turn to Joshua 1:8. We're going to talk about meditation. You know, meditation did not come from Eastern religions. It originated in the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, or we could say Bible, or we could say the Word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, keep the Word of God in your mouth. Don't let it get away from your mouth. Keep it in your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. then God will make your way prosperous, and then God will cause you to have good success. Well, in a sense, he does, but you've got to take it charge. He said, meditate on the word of God whenever you feel like it. Noah, like I said, I'd spent 13 years living the way I wanted to live, thinking the way I wanted to think. But I had to change my way of thinking and learn how to think the way God thinks about me and other people. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do it. See, it's the doer of the word that's blessed in his deeds. And God gave us tools to use. Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is live and powerful. See, that word will break through any mindset or thought pattern that you have trained yourself to think. James 1:21 and 22. James 21:21 and 22 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, not weakness, but meekness, the implanted word which is able to save your souls, or we could say renew your minds. Says the word of God. We receive it. You know, one thing that's cost God great heartbreaks is that that's given us a free will. We can do anything we want to. But when we come into the things of God, we want to start doing the things the way he wants us to do it. But we've got patterns in our life. We've got habits. We've got things. We've got chains on our leg like that little elephant, or at least we think we do. So we get free and we can easily break through, but we still got in our mind, we still got a chain, and all it is a rope. See, that's what the devil would like to think, that he has still got us bound, that he is still in control of us, and he's not. The blood of Jesus delivered us totally and completely from all the junk that we had gotten ourselves into. But if we don't do something with our minds and renew ourselves to his word, then we'll still have that chain around our leg. Verse 22, be a doer of the word and not hearer only, deceiving yourselves. You know, really, it's kind of dangerous to be in a church like this. Because you hear it and don't do it, then the Bible says you don't even need the devil. You deceive yourself. See, we want to be a doer of the word and not just hear it, not just say, oh, Pastor, that's a good sermon, and walk out of there and forget, well, what did the pastor preach on this morning? It was good. Well, what did he preach on this morning? I don't know. I've done this. I'm you know, if I step on some toes tonight, we'll have a prayer line for toes. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You purify your soul. You renew your mind when you obey the truth. When you put the word of God in your mouth and you speak it. Talk to yourself. Like I said in Philippians 4. Thoughts would come to me. No, devil, I'm not going to think that way anymore. I've been delivered from that. I'm going to think on things that are good, pure, perfect, lovely, and good report. You're not going to get me back to that place again. You're not taking me back to that place again. I don't have a chain around my leg anymore. I don't have a chain around my head anymore. I don't have any desire to have anything to do with the lifestyle that I used to live, because Jesus set me free, and by the word of God in my mouth, I'm going to stay free. You can't keep me there. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. You know, we got a pure heart. Come on. The blood of Jesus caused it to be pure. It's not what we did, it's what He did, but we accepted what He did for us. Colossians 3:9. And I'm getting close to ending this. But you know what? When a preacher says that, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. Verse 10. And you have put on the new man. See, that's what happens. You put on the new man, and when you put on the new man, the way God sees you, the way God thinks about you, you're putting off that old man. So you put on and put off at the same time, or you put off and put on at the same time. It's the Word of God in your mouth, speaking it, and not just thinking it. It's good to think on it. It's good to mull it over and over in your mind, but it's even better to speak it out of your mouth. Because in Mark 11:23, He said you got to speak to a mountain, not just think about the mountain, not talk about the mountain, but speak to it. And this is the biggest mountain that you'll ever have to move in your life. Getting rid of the stinking thinking that you programmed your way life with. Like I said, Angela, she grew up, she can't remember when she got saved, but she had a lot of religious thinking that she had to get rid of after Bible school.
I was so young, that's why.
Yeah. And me, you know, the horrible life that I lived, I had to get rid of all that stuff. I had to put off that old man and put on the new man. Put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him that created him.
Amen.
I had to renew my mind. Here's another good one. It says virtually the same thing. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I'm not going to think the way that I used to think. Now, thoughts will come, but I just won't allow them to stay. Like I said earlier, thoughts are like birds. You cannot stop them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You have control. The devil can't make you do anything, and God won't. See, we submit willfully to Him, and there's power in that. But you submit to the devil, and there's bondage in that. I don't want to go back there. I'm not going back there. Well, how can you say that, Brother Larry? Watch me. I'm not going back there. I have a free will, devil. This is exactly where you are. And that's really biblically the only place that He's supposed to be.
Right
here under our feet.
Amen.
Because the blood of Jesus put us there, and I'm going to keep Him there.
Hallelujah.
And I believe you will too.
Yes.
I mean, you're a Sunday night Christian.
Hallelujah.
I'm preaching to the choir now. But some of you out there on media land, you need, like we said this morning, you need to get back in church.
Yes.
Meditation gives us the ability to put off the old ways and put on God's ways. I heard a story about a man that had two dogs, and he lived in this little village, and there's a foreigner, a man that came in and came in to live in this village, and there wasn't a whole lot to do there. So on the weekends, this old man that had the two dogs, he would take his dogs into town and he'd have dog fights. Well, this new arrival, this new man that came into town, since there wasn't a whole lot to do, he'd go to the dog fights. And he would watch the dog fights. And after a period of time, he got to know the man that had the two dogs. And so he, one day, he felt like he knew this man with the dogs well enough. And he says, you know what? I'd like to know something. We become friends. He says, it's every time that you bet on a dog, that dog wins. Would you please tell me how you always know what dog is going to win? And the man with the two dogs, he says, well, it's easy. The dog that I feed that week is the dog that wins. What dog are you feeding? Come on now. What dog are we feeding? Are we feasting on a lot of the stuff on TV and letting the world program us and squeeze us into its mold? Come on. Like I said, I'll pray for toes tonight. So I'm going to give you a few scriptures that I meditate on. Now, I've got a bunch, but I'm only going to give a few that got me out of the thinking that I'm just an old sinner, that I am the righteousness of God. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I'm going to put this in confession or meditation form. I'm talking to God. I'm talking in the first person. Amen. I'm going to make these scriptures personal in the first person. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am in Christ and I am born again. Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, you got to tell yourself, I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. I'm a child of God. God loves me. He wants the best for me. I don't know how many times, thousands of times, I had to tell myself that way. That because I would think about some of the bad and stupid things I used to do in the past. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for me. See, Jesus took my place that I might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, this statement will just totally twist a religious mind, and they would probably want to stone me like they did want to stone Jesus. I like to say it like this. He, talking about Jesus, yes, became everything I was, yes, so I could be everything he is. Yes. Woo! Yes. Man! Yes. Talk to yourself that way. Yes. He became everything. He became sin for me. He became poor for me. He took stripes on his back.
Amen.
See, it's a whole total transition. He became everything I was. Sin, sickness, depravity, disease. So I could be righteous, holy, walking right with God, having right standing with God, having to be in a child of God, living victorious. And being able to lead others into victory. See, it's not just this is not just so it's a bless me thing. It's so that we can learn the Word of God to the extent that we can get others out of the same pit that God got us out of. Whether it was in the case of Angela or in my case or anywhere beyond that on either end or in between. Let me read this to you. And it's talking about 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it's a note out of the Passion Translation, and it's talking about verse 21. It says, this verse is perhaps the greatest verse in the New Testament to describe our salvation through the sinless Savior and His substitutionary death on the cross. A wonderful divine exchange took place at the cross. All of our sins were left there. Our guilt was removed and forever gone. We walked away with all God, all of God's righteousness. Whew. Boy, that's a mouthful. We walked away with all God's righteousness because we dare to believe what Jesus did for us. What a bliss is ours. Every believer today possesses the perfect and complete righteousness of Christ. We are seen by the Father as righteous as His Son. Shoo! Let me read something to you out of Romans chapter 5, verse 19. We're talking about being righteous, having right standing with God. See, because when God says something, He says it over and over and over in the Word. False doctrine is built on one or two scriptures. And mainly for us, you know, we're New Testament believers. Thank God for Israel. But, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. They can't, the law will not get us into heaven.
Right.
Only believing in Jesus. He's the only way.
Amen.
Some people might say, well, there's many ways to God. Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to think. But we know better. Romans 5:19, as by one man's sin, now this is talking about Adam and it's talking about Jesus, as by one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, I was made a sinner. So as by one man's obedience, I was made righteous, talking about Jesus. See, I'm saying this in the first person again. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And I just say, if God told me to be holy, then it is possible for me to be holy. I am. I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. I'm a child of God. I mean, if you were in the situation that I was in, I had to drill this. I had to put off that old man and put off that old man and put on the new man and put on the new man. And nobody can convince me that I'm not righteous. Well, you and your wife had an argument on the way to these meetings tonight. Yeah, but I asked God to forgive me, and that's in my past. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't go, if you've asked God to forgive you about something, it's in the past. He won't ever bring it back up to you.
Amen.
When we see ourselves the way God made us through the blood of Jesus, righteous, right standing with Him, we won't yield to ungodly actions and activities. Heard a story about this man, and he would take a shortcut through the cemetery to get home. And so he'd get off work, and he had a manual labor job, and he was dirty and stinky, and he's going through the graveyard, and he looks down, and there's two guys down there digging a grave. And they say, hey, won't you come down here and help us? And he looked at himself, and he was stinky and he was dirty. He mean he just got off work. And so he looks at himself, he looks at them. He says, well, sure, I'll just jump down in there and help you and we'll get this thing done. But one day he walking through the graveyard, but he didn't come from work. He just come from a wedding. And he's in nice clothes. He's in the coat and tie, and he's going by there, and these same two guys, they're digging another grave, and they're down in there, and they say, hey, why don't you come down in here and help us? And he looks at himself, and he's all cleaned up. He's got nice cologne on. He's got nice clothes on, and he looks down in there, and they're stinky, and they're smelly, and they're dirty. And he looks at himself, and he says, no, I think I'm going to pass this time, fellas. See the difference?
Yeah.
If we see ourselves the way God has made us through the blood of Jesus, all cleaned up, all smelling good, all right standing with Him, we won't get down in the where the grave diggers are and get down in that dirt and mire and do the things that we used to do. Amen?
Amen.
My brothers and sisters, there is so much more in God that we can have.
Amen.
God wants so much more for us. But we got to do something with the way we think, the way we see ourselves. I'll cover one more. Philippians 2:13. It is God who works in me both the willing to do for your good pleasure. I'm talking to God. It's you, God. You're working in me both the willing to do of your good pleasure. I like what the message says. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within me. It is you, God, yourself, willing and working at me at what will give you the most pleasure. My goodness. So we can do this, my brothers and sisters. It'll just take effort. And you might say, well, you know, I've been in the church all my life. Angela was in the church. I mean, let's see, 75, 77. When were you a youth minister?
When?
78.
From 77.
77 through?
82.
82. She met this crazy lady. Well, everybody in the Pentecostal church thought she was crazy because that asked her how she's doing. She said, I'm blessed of the Lord. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You know, and they didn't know what to think. I mean, thank God they're born again. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a Pentecostal church. But they wasn't accustomed to people talking like that. And she got a hold of Angela and got her on to the word of faith, what some of Brother Hagin's teaching, and it transformed her life. Transform my life. See, it doesn't matter what background you come from. When you start renewing your mind with the Word of God, it will keep religion at bay. It will keep your old lifestyle at bay. You put off that old man. Regardless of what trap the devil had put you in, and you put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of Him that created us. God has so much more for us, and it works. I'm a living testimony to the Word of God. But God's not going to force it in our throat, down our throat. You know, it would be really good if God just opened the top of our head, pull out our old stinking thinking, and put in a new, renewed mind, but it doesn't happen that way. It's a process, and God gives us the tools, but we have to use them. Amen. To grow in the things of God. To grow in the things of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd just like you to ask you to close your eyes just a moment. If you're here or if you're on the internet and you've been tormented with whatever kind of thoughts, you know, because the devil brings torment. God brings peace. If you've been harassed in your mind, I'm not going to bring you up here, and I just ask you to acknowledge that by slipping your hand up, putting it right back down. If you've been harassed with tormenting thoughts, I want a minute to pray for you. Anyone else? I see that hand as well. Okay, everybody can look out. I'm just going to do it the way God told me to. And those of you on the media there, in the name of Jesus, God revealed that to me. So I take authority over those tormenting thoughts, and I forbid them to operate any longer. In Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break those damnable thoughts. And I thank you, Father. I pray right now that the peace of God that passes all understanding would keep their heart and mind through Christ Jesus, through the Word of God. I thank you that they're free now and they don't have to be tormented any longer. And when those thoughts come again, take Philippians 4:8 like I did. Man, that's just about a cure-all. I'm only going to think on. You have a choice. You can say, take that authority Angela talked about this morning. You have the authority to use the Word of God. No! I refuse those thoughts and I think on things that are good and pure and perfect, lovely and good report. See, you can't just say, I'm not going to think about that anymore. You have to replace it with a scripture, with the Word of God. Putting off something and putting on something is the way it works. And you say no. And thank God for the pastor. He can help you in these things. But ultimately, you're in charge of your own life. Amen. And you can be in charge of your own life, but then help others. You know, the man that led me back to the Lord, he wasn't a preacher. He was an old drug dealer friend of mine that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and began to learn the Word of God. And he's the one that set me down and showed me many, many scriptures that got me free from the hell that I had created for myself.